Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game 6, you watch the Indiana Pacers take care of Milwaukee, then the Cavs, then New York, and now in a great series with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Win or lose, this has been a good series for Indiana. Indiana might be the kind of team that can't replicate this next year. Cavs might be the type of team that can't replicate what they did this year, next year. Knicks, maybe the same way. The East is going to be wide open. And I just wonder if you're Kobe Altman, the president of basketball operations, if you're Mike Gansey, local guy, general manager of the team, are you sitting back and thinking, yeah, it was injuries, and we can, you know, we'll get healthier and we can tweak? Or do you look back and think, we were really good and we got the absolute most out of what we had, and to get better, we have to make a big move? And I wonder which is correct. If the big move presents itself, by all means, I think you do it. And if it doesn't present itself, you do not force it. And keep in mind, big move doesn't necessarily have to be this offseason. Big move could be
trade deadline.
Up to the trade deadline.
Keep an eye out on the three-team trade thing. I mean,
Cavs are good at that.
Yeah, Kobe's really good at getting involved in those type of trades, and it might make his life at least a little easier when trying to maybe move off a guy like Isaac Okoro. Maybe you can't just send him to a team for in a straight up deal, because as Chris Fedor had talked to us about last hour, Jeff, you probably have to attach assets to make a team be willing to absorb that contract for which basically a one dimensional player, and that is he's a defensive guy, great defensive player, but his offense is the antithesis of his defense.
His offense makes him unplayable in key moments sometimes in games.
Yeah.
That's not what you need out of a 6'5 guard.
And when he's on the floor, you're playing
small forward.
You're playing 4-on-5 offensive basketball. And you have the 4 because nobody's paying any attention to him or giving him an ounce of respect, because they want him to shoot. Please pass it to Isaac. Let him shoot. He's going to miss. We're going to get the rebound, and let's go to the other side, other end of the floor.
Robert is in University Heights. Hello, Robert. Welcome to the show.
Hello, first-time caller. How you guys doing?
Awesome. Good to have you with us.
I wanted to dispute a little of what the other gentleman said about Darius Garland being selfish.
Shoot.
Darius isn't a selfish player. The last two seasons, unfortunately, he's had some injuries. He only weighs 160. He lost 25 pounds the first season. And this season, he got hurt at the wrong time. But what I will say about Darius is, and I've played sports all my life, never in the NBA, But Darius doesn't have that mean streak on the court. He's a happy-go-lucky kind of player, and because he takes every play the same way, he lacks that killer instinct. He also gets hit in the face more than anybody I've ever seen in the NBA.
That is true.
That he does. Robert,
when it comes to...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, when it comes to Isaac Okoro, you guys are right on time. Unfortunately, when he's out there, it's five guys defending four for the Cavaliers. And what we need is we need a big body, 6'9", 6'10 guy to come in that used to be how Tristan Thompson used to play. Unfortunately, he's got diminishing returns now because of his age. But we need a big young man who can come in and play four and be strong. I had take nothing against Jared Allen. I wouldn't get rid of him. I love Evan Mobley. But there's my father used to say, they're a little light in the behind. And so we need somebody who can come in and fill that position.
Robert, thanks for calling for the first time. Don't make it your last, okay?
I appreciate you guys.
There's Robert in University Heights. Jim is in Strongsville. Jim, good afternoon.
Hey, guys, listen, I think that you need to make these go bold. And I say this way, Jeff, I don't think you can roll it back and say, well, we were injured. Well, we made the same argument last year. Well, we were injured. And that's particularly the reason why Darius Garland's the guy you got to move away from. Darius Garland hasn't been healthy in the playoffs yet. He hasn't been healthy for an entire season yet. And I would package him, whether you package him together or you split them up and trade him separately, him and Jared Allen, I think you could really improve the roster. I know you like Jared. The problem is when it comes to playoff basketball, Jared brings nothing to the table. I know he had double doubles, but he also had games. Didn't he have a game where he had like no rebounds? That just can't happen with a guy that you're counting on. Is if his big thing is going to be he's going to get rebounds for you and do stuff around the basket, you cannot have a playoff game with him having zero rebounds. So I would move those two guys. I just don't think you can. I don't think the health argument has any value because again, you can't. How many times in a row can you say, well, we just weren't healthy before you realize, like, well, I guess we just don't have guys that can stay healthy. So that's why I would move on. I'd bring in some bigger bodies, some more interchangeable bodies, which everybody wants. Do that and build around the two guys that you think are going to be. I mean, we've all said it all along. This team isn't going to take a step forward until Evan Mobley makes a step towards being the best player on this roster. And I think moving Darius for a more distribution-oriented point guard helps develop Evan Mobley into that kind of guy.
Jim, thank you very much. I just think it would be too drastic to move on from Darius and Jarrett. And obviously, I because of the duplication of skill sets with the small ball dominant guards, I'm tired of hearing it too.
you are a broken record.
Well, it's. I said it before Donovan.
Well, you were around when broken records were invented, so it makes sense.
Thank you. I said it before Donovan ever played a second for the Cavs. I didn't like the mix. And though they're very good, I don't like the mix. It's not the player, it's the mix.
Right.
And I don't think you can have enough big guys who can play in the NBA.
Well, like I said, I mean, if you trade Darius, people are going to take it as an indictment of him as a player.
Which
and
is that, not
and
the
that's
case.
Not what it is.
Not the case.
Absolutely not.
Oh, he's a tremendous player. Let me tweak things a little bit here, can I?
Sure.
News coming out yesterday that the Buss family that has owned the Los Angeles Lakers forever.
By the way, Winning Time on Max or HBO Max or HBO Cinemax or whatever they're calling that app these days. Phenomenal. It's a great. I realize a lot of it's like been dramatized and stuff like that. But Jeff, I got to tell you, man, got me hooked. Like 5 minutes into it, I was hooked. Phenomenal show. I know the Buss family hates it. I know Magic Johnson hates it. I know like all the former Lakers, Phil Jackson hates it. Phenomenal show.
Daryl's a fan, folks. Lakers are being sold. And there's money in this, and who knows exactly how it ends up playing out. The headlines are Lakers to be sold in record-breaking $10 billion deal. That's billion. And, you know, he was Dr. Jerry Buss. He was a dentist. And then got into real estate. And
so to put this in Brook Park Dome terms, You could build four Brook Park domes for what the Los Angeles Lakers are being sold for.
And that is just stunning. This is a basketball team. You know, you think about values of things.
Well, didn't the Celtics sell for eight?
Yeah, you think about football. You know, I do. I think about football teams as having the highest value. Not necessarily the case. But the Lakers are being sold to a holding company, TWG Global. They own the LA Dodgers. They own the LA Sparks.
So basically look for them to defer the salaries for the entire roster like they do with the Dodgers.
Part of the...
Are you allowed to do that in the NBA? I don't think so, but you know.
Good question. Where's Bobby Bonilla? Part of the ownership group of the English Premier League team, Chelsea.
So what you're saying is they have a lot of fun coupons to spend.
They got a lot of fun. They also own the Billie Jean King Cup tennis tournament and the Cadillac Formula One team. So, you know, it's become the playground of really rich folks.
Yeah,
buy multiple franchises and have some fun with it, and they're going to. The gentleman's name is last name is Walter. Mark Walter is the guy who's behind the whole thing, and they're going to keep Jeannie Buss in charge, which to me is fascinating. It's like, really? Okay, cool.
That's right. But that's not the first time that
I think it's I think it's really cool though.
It's a continuity thing, I think too.
Yeah,
I mean she's been running it for years, and it's for the most part worked. So,
but see, if I'm Jeannie Buss and they offer me that kind of money for my team, I'm selling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mark Cuban did the same thing in Dallas. The Mavericks were his life.
Yeah.
Boom. You're offering me how much? Thanks. I'm a businessman. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't need to build a new arena. You can go ahead and do that.
It's on you. Good luck. Got all your Vegas money. Go ahead. And these franchises are becoming so
Well, you saw
valuable.
What's happening in Tampa Bay with the Rays, right?
Oh, yeah.
Only, and I say this a little facetiously, but only $1.7 billion with a B dollar valuation for that particular franchise. And and I hate to drag the Guardians into this, but they have an ownership change that it's going to be
coming down
the pike here, right, with David Blitzer, once the Dolan family decides that they would like to give up majority ownership of the franchise. I always like to say, you know, the Guardians ownership group, they're millionaires playing in a billionaire's game. And pro sports now, it is a billionaire's club. It's not just the National Football League anymore. It's Major League Baseball. Especially, it has to be Major League Baseball if you want to be able to compete, because there's no cap, there's no floor, and their revenue sharing model. And then, of course, same thing goes with the NBA.
Yeah.
You have to have those owners, not only with the deep pockets, but they also have to be willing to spend. And, like Jimmy Haslam, for all the faults that we have talked about over the years with their ownership of the Browns.
Never heard that writing a check is a problem.
No, they spend. They have spent a lot of money to lose a lot of football games.
Yeah, and they've now bought into the Milwaukee Bucks. They own the Columbus Crew. This is what I'm talking about,
yeah.
where groups are bringing in multiple franchises and going from there. The sale of the Lakers, $10 billion, puts them at least, and you know, who knows what a thing is worth is what somebody's willing to pay for it. And
imagine what the Dallas Cowboys could sell for.
Well, Forbes' list of most valuable sports teams in 2024 had the Cowboys number one at $10.1 billion.
Okay. By the way, Yankee fan is very upset these days at the Steinbrenner family for not continuing to spend outside their minds.
Well, I mean, at some point it gets ridiculous, doesn't it? We'll tell you where the Lakers were on that list and where our teams are. And what it could mean for our teams and sports as we know it, because I mean the value of these things is just becoming so astronomical. Why, if you're a private individual, why would you hold on? Why? Take the money and run. Unless you have more and you can just kick back and have a blast. It's Baskin and Phillips here on the Fan. Daryl's in for Andy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We got into a good Darius Garland conversation earlier in the show, and I think we both came around to the idea that there's kind of this latest push of maybe the Cavs don't trade Darius Garland until the All-Star break, until the trade deadline, because of the toe injury. And I just think that's a punt if you're the Cavs. I think that's a very creative shirking of responsibility by Kobe Altman. I think it's a, I don't want to use this word, but I can't think of a better one. It's a bit of cowardice.
I mean, I just have a hard time thinking they would actually move him at the deadline. So if they bring Darius back, he's going to be there for the whole year.
And by the way, it probably should be. Because next offseason's another Donovan decision. And if you get bounced out around, if you get bounced out again in the second round of the playoffs and you haven't made a single move that will move the needle to make this team better, can I just, I've hijacked the show a bit at points today.
Okay.
No, I want to be sensitive to this because, I don't. I just want to, I want magnanimous here.
Yeah.
I am getting really tired and pissed off at people who try to pass off this idea that the Cavs bench is why they lost in the playoffs. And it is just annoying the daylights out of me.
Okay. Who are these people?
I mean, it's several national reporters who keep coming on stations in this town. It's several local, whether it's columnists or reporters who are like, well, maybe if we just swap out Isaac Okoro with a better player. It's like, yeah, because Isaac Okoro, he's the reason you lost to Indiana.
I mean, anyone that thinks Isaac Okoro is the reason why, you're missing the forest for the trees. And that's, it's fine. If you want to think nothing is wrong, this is what you would do, right? If you want to think that the reason why the Pacers are the Pacers right now is because of everyone not named Halliburton and Siakam, I'd point you to what happened last night, Nick.
Well, and it's just, I just continue to fall back on, like last night, the Pacers lost because
Halliburton stunk.
Well, the Thunder just took him out of the game.
Halliburton got injured, and then Halliburton didn't score a single field goal, and that was your game. Because your stars matter the most in this league.
And it just continues to come back to, and it really is, like people are trying to create some sort of math problem that isn't the problem. Like, yeah, listen, guys, Isaac could play better. Yeah, he is. Yeah, that's fine. Dean Wade could play better. Yeah, mm-hmm. There are several guys on the bench who got overexposed in the playoffs. And that's fair. But this idea, guys, hey, we got a bigger plan for Craig Porter Jr.
Well, yeah, but this was
Are you damn serious telling me Craig Porter Jr. is going to be the difference maker next year?
Go even deeper than this, though. Like, I know a lot of people at the deadline with the DeAndre Hunter move was like, we got it all figured out now. This is going to be it. It's like, it doesn't really work that way. The pieces have to fit all the way around, but most importantly, they have to fit with what turned out to be your core four.
But listen, if you just don't want to break up the core four because you don't see value in doing that and you don't think fit matters, fine, you're dead ass wrong. And you're probably going to get fired because of how wrong you are. Or you might lose Donovan Mitchell because of how wrong you are. But I can understand that GMs get super precious with guys they drafted and that they developed and that there are personal relationships involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally understand it. I do. But don't treat me like an idiot. And like, don't, well, you know, hey, listen, Ty Jerome didn't play well enough. He played his way. Guys, he's not a point guard. He was running the offense. Yes, the Pacers surmised Ty Jerome, who's not a point guard, who is a secondary creator and should always be a secondary creator, they surmised that if you pressured Ty too much, he'd fold like a lawn chair. You know why? Because he's not a point guard. And it does drive me crazy a little bit, man, where it's like, listen, if you don't want to make moves, that's fine. We believe in what we, but don't shovel bleep into the furnace and call it coal. And that's what I'm getting.
Well, that's everyone else, though. I mean, if I give Kobe some credit in this, what is Kobe? Kobe hasn't done anything
Where do you think they're getting this stuff?
Well, I mean, I'm just based off of what we can tell off of him. I don't know. Do you think all the reporters are just talking to Kobe Altman and that's what's happening?
Do I think that a lot of the completely erroneous, almost insulting ideas on what sunk the Cavs this year are from the Cavs in one way or another? Yes. Yes. Because there's no incredibly smart, because it's never framed as
Kobe's doing the same exact thing he did last year with it, though. He told you in the end of season press conference he thinks everything is great and he can win with this core four and it's all about Atkinson and the development and what he's trying to be able to do with Atkinson. And so far to this point, it's not like he's strayed any bit away from that.
No. But I think my point is when somebody instead of saying, I think the Cavs should do X, Y, and Z, when they say, well, the Cavs believe, they're either getting it from the Cavs or somebody that the Cavs are telling that they believe. And listen, we're early enough in the offseason where this could be, there's a lot of smoke here. But let's all be honest about where we are. Let's all be honest about why you lost. And yes, the Cavs it's the pieces off the bench don't fit with the pieces in the starting lineup because the pieces in the starting lineup don't fit. That's how this goes. So getting better role players off the bench isn't going to suddenly make Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell fit together or there not be some sort of math issue with the basketball.
Maybe what I meant to say was if you believe then that everything is coming from the reporters, well then, I mean, Fedor himself, when he was in with us last week and has now for a couple weeks, suggested that the Cavs are more than willing to listen to offers when it comes to Darius.
Yeah, no. And so this is where I want to give them time.
That would suggest that Kobe is actually considering the idea that the core four could be broken up in some fashion.
But again,
and isn't just resting on Okoro. Etc.
I understand that there's a big smoke and mirror thing, but if we get through this offseason and it was, hey, the difference here is we swapped out Isaac Okoro for LaMelo Ball. Well, you know, we swapped out Isaac Okoro for Jonas Valanciunas, and we traded Dean Wade and turned him into Skippy Longstocking.
Right, no one's going to buy that.
He's a Dutch two-way player that's 7'1", 112 pounds, but boy, can he shoot the three. This is where it's like, guys, what are we doing?
We got to get Skippy a protein shake is what we got to do.
I do think Jackson Flickinger was on with Big Weech last night and posited an idea that I do think is really interesting. And you and I have talked kind of tangentially about what Jackson talked about. But I think when we start to talk about building this thing forward, I think the onus might not ever be on the right person when we're having these conversations.
A lot of it does really come down to, like, well, Evan Mobley needs to be just a little bit better. You need Darius Garland on the court. And I think any move that the Cavs make going forward needs to be with, does this move make Evan Mobley better as a player going forward? So I think that's what they need to be looking at. But it's also like the type of players that they need, they don't need the same exact type of players that the Pacers have.
So he said something there about catering to Evan Mobley. And I got to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I do think that's where we are. And this is not meant to be disrespectful to Donovan Mitchell, who is still absolutely the best player on this team, the face of the franchise. And he's much like LeBron waited for about 7 years for Anthony Davis to take the mantle of the team. And finally, they were like, yeah, let's go trade AD for Luka Doncic in one of the best trades in NBA history. I do think Donovan's waiting for that moment when he can pass the baton off to Evan Mobley, where it doesn't just have to be the Donovan show. And I do think, like, I think given Donovan's age and given the fact that you might trade Darius, I do think when we start to look at moves, I do think some of the moves have to be an interest, not just about, hey, how can they make Donovan better? They got to make sure they cater to Evan as well, so that as this roster grows together in the future, that when Evan is the better player, those same players make Evan better the way they make Donovan better.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, we're at the spot where we were talking in the beginning of the segment. A year from now, we might be talking about how to trade Donovan Mitchell. How am I going to construct a team if a year from now we're thinking about trading Donovan and getting out of that contract in some sort of way? So, yeah, I think Evan Mobley's got to be the focus. I wondered just how much you involve Evan. Like, do you go to Evan and ask for his input? Do you find out who he likes to play with the most? What's his dream list? Like, who's his white whale to play basketball with? And do you go target some of those type of guys?
Is it Fat Kevin Love? Is that his white whale?
I doubt it. I don't know that that's anybody's white whale at this point if you're Kevin Love.
It was about 15 years ago, guys.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
That was a good time. Now, the buzz cut did not age well. That was a bad fashion decision.
Well, and he goes after people on social media harder than you do these days.
Yeah, that's true. Nikki Dubs, too. Kevin Love, number one, in terms of being out of pocket on the internet. I think it's interesting that last part you said, though, because I don't think Evan's there yet. Now, maybe it might. Listen, if you want Evan to be more assertive, if you want Evan to take more ownership in the team, it might actually be a way to help kind of cajole him into being more of a force.
I mean, I'd be dying to know if he had thoughts on it. I'd be more
surprised if he did.
Well, and that's my point. Like, if they went to him and said, how do we construct this with your best intentions and your best, what can we do to make your life easier? Would he give them a rundown of guys that he's played with, guys that he likes, guys that he's dreamed of playing with? Or would he sit back and be like, this is your job. Like, I appreciate it, but it's your job.
And here's the thing. He just might. I think every NBA player with the way the league is set up will have to get there. I just don't think we're there yet. But and here's the thing.
I mean, I bet Donovan would have a list of players.
If Evan went to them and said, hey, these are a couple guys I'd like you to consider, I would probably respond at this point, you can earn that. There's a way you can earn that, and it's by being the show. And you're not, right now, you're probably the third option. And that's not a bad thing, because the first two options are pretty stinking good. But like, when you come back and you're fighting Donovan for the best player on this team, we'll look at your list again. That would be my response if I were the Cavs. Now, I don't think you have to worry about that, because I don't think Evan's that kind of dude. And he's super young still, and just like life, super young.
Yeah.
And it's not his personality. But I'm comfortable, by the way, making moves to cater to him. I'm not still comfortable yet in going to him and catering that way. Am I splitting the baby there, as
a
you would
little,
say?
No, a little bit, but it does make sense. I get exactly what you're saying, because I think that's where I almost fall in line with it, where it's like he hasn't earned that yet, but if we're talking about catering a whole offense towards him and a whole system towards him, maybe we should be talking about this type of conversations with him.
So
I also think Kobe Altman just cares too much about constructing it himself, though, if we're being honest. He likes being the builder.
I don't think it's just him. I think
he puts his hard hat on. He likes to be Bob the Builder.
But I don't think it's just, I think it's the front office. I think Gansey, I think the guys they have there, I do think they work well together. And I think you're right to say, I think they're a little precious about building it themselves, but I think it's a them. I still think it's a them. I just don't think it's then going to most of the players and putting them in there. Craig on Twitter, real quick here, saying, as I get back there, Okoro and Wade aren't the reason they lost. However, if they had two different players in their place, they may have had a better shot to win. The fact you can't say definitively they would have had a better shot to win speaks to you at how significantly your core four failed to compete in that. Because it should be noted, there are a couple framing things that I think are disingenuous and too Cavs friendly to get to. And one of them is, well, it's just the bench. The bench is what failed us. And two is that that series was close. When it comes to duration of a series,
it was five games.
It was five games. When it comes to quality of those games, there were two competitive games. You were the favorite in four of the five games. You had home court advantage. I just want to continue to reiterate these facts. These are facts. These aren't made up things made so the Cavs can have maximum flexibility to sit on their ass if that's what they want to do. No, the reality is it was a five-game series, and it wasn't even close for a five-game series.
Well, Okoro doesn't change what happened in Game 5, where Donovan didn't trust anybody in the fourth quarter. It doesn't change the fact that, by the way, I looked it up earlier today. That was, from a statistical standpoint and game score, the worst Darius Garland playoff game he's ever had. And he's had some stinkers, obviously, but that was the worst one. And not really even close. There was no Isaac Okoro replacement saving that game.
Do the Cavs need to cater towards Evan Mobley going forward? They do need to start considering him and what players make him better just as much as they do Donovan Mitchell. Because I guarantee you, if Evan wants to be here for the next 5 years, Evan's going to be here. I can't say that about anybody else on this roster. Maybe Tyson. I'm a big Jalen Tyson fan. More on this and... I asked Albert. He answered. I don't have to like the answer, but he did answer. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You guys have been trying to run Darius Garland out of town. I've heard you. I've heard a certain reporter from Cleveland.com trying to run Darius Garland out of town. Should I ask Danny if he's number three?
Go ahead.
Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs podcast, the inside shot on Substack, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan, the Saturday Evening Post. Danny. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Danny.
Good morning.
You trying to run Darius Garland out of town?
No, I think it would be an unwise decision unless that the Cavs are blown away by an offer to trade Darius Garland. I think that he's still growing and getting better as a player. And I think that if you are going to trade Darius Garland, maybe the time to have this conversation is a year from now if the Cavs don't succeed in the postseason next year the way that we anticipate them to or expect them to, I guess would probably be a better way to phrase that. But I think trading Darius Garland just to trading Darius Garland is not the best exercise in team building.
Take that. Take well, that
I think,
tone.
I think we're all then agreeing. I mean, none of us want to just dump Darius Garland and we instantly get better. I mean, the goal is to try to make a move that makes you a little more diverse than they are right now, which is crazy, Danny, because in the regular season, I sat there and lauded so much of what they were able to do under Kenny Atkinson, all the different ways that they can play. And then the playoffs, it got right back to the similar formula of the issues they had. And I'm obviously not talking about the Miami series because that wasn't much of a NBA playoff series. But the one that they end up losing, it just seemed to be a very similar formula. And I know Darius was injured, but they just had a lot of the same problems they've had every year. So that's what makes this so tough. I'm trying to figure out a way where they can be better suited to make a deep playoff run.
I think the thing that I keep coming back to as I think about that is everything, a lot of the things that Darius Garland provides is a lot of what the Cavs were missing in that series, right? Because he provides, I think, a really good pressure release outlet. He's somebody that can obviously handle the basketball, I think, better than anybody else on that roster. And the way that the Pacers put the Cavs under pressure for 48 minutes a night and really only having Donovan Mitchell as a guy that you trust to be able to break that down, to be able to bring the ball up so frequently. I mean, we saw early in the series, Ty Jerome having the ball stolen from him before he gets across half court. I believe that was in game one or maybe game two. But there were so many instances like that where it's like, man, a healthy Darius Garland would help out in so many ways. I keep going back to game three, and Darius wasn't very good in that game. He could not move all that well. Mm-hmm. And I believe he dealt with foul trouble too. But that was the game where the Cavs just most looked like the Cavs because they weren't under this immense pressure the entire time because they had somebody else who could help them to break it a little bit. And I just keep coming back to that and saying, man, if Darius Garland were healthy, I wonder what that series would have looked like. Not even saying that the Cavs would have won, but I think that they would have at least as a team looked much different. And that is something that I don't know if it's worth trading him just because he was hurt and it didn't go your way.
Hell yeah, Danny, you're on my side. How's it feel?
Oh, it's the feeling I've been searching for my whole life, Ken.
Feels like another second round exit. Danny Cunningham joining us right now on the hotline. So Danny, right now, that was cheap. I'm sorry. Okay, so Desmond Bane gets traded from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Orlando Magic. And obviously, we played the Magic a couple of years ago. That was a rough, rough series. That was a team we handpicked, and we barely got by them despite the fact they had never been in the postseason. Last year, they didn't have Suggs. It was a cavalcade of injuries for them, and they are using injuries as an excuse just like we are. They go get Bane, and I'm hearing a lot of the NBA people fall in love with the trade for them despite having to give up the amount of picks that they gave. What do you think, Danny? Because my takeaway was I still have the Cavs ahead of the Magic in the regular season, but I think a playoff series against them has just gotten exponentially tougher if they're healthy.
So I think that the Magic are better, but I don't think, and this is the thing that I can't wrap my head around because I'm with you. I've seen a lot of people that just love this trade. To me, the biggest issue for the Orlando Magic is they do not have a point guard that is good enough offensively that can help them to get, because I think Paolo Banchero is an awesome basketball player. I like Franz Wagner. I don't love Franz Wagner. But they don't have that guy that can get things set up for them offensively. That's why, you know, maybe we heard them as a team that could be interested in Darius Garland because he would be a perfect fit there. He's everything that they need. Desmond Bane makes them better. He makes them more talented. But I keep looking at the situation, and this is even before thinking about what they gave up. I don't know that he solves the issues that they have. Like, he makes them tougher. He makes them better, certainly. And they were already, I think, a tough team that, as you said, dealt with a lot of injuries last year. But they've been a bottom 10 offense in the NBA every year since Dwight Howard left. And I really think they need a star caliber point guard to break that. I think that they are probably still a bottom half of the league offense because they just don't have the playmaking and the ball handling that you need, as we just got done talking about with the Cavs that they so sorely missed in the postseason. It's hard for me to imagine this Orlando Magic team just having an immense amount of success in the postseason without having a real point guard like that. And the thing about giving up what they gave up, I don't know how they go and get that guy now, because I do not believe they have a tradable first-round pick left with everything they gave up. Do you want to trade Jalen Suggs? Maybe, but even then, his contract is $30 million and goes down, like, you might have trouble finding the ability to pay a point guard the amount of money that he probably makes. So I have some serious questions about what they're going to look like. They'll be better, certainly, but I still think that they're probably in that second or third tier of teams in the Eastern Conference, depending on how you want to split it up.
Danny Cunningham joining us on the show. Yeah, Danny, like, getting back to the Cavs and a lot of this, like, I think that where they improve is maybe on the margins. I think they were much closer to the whole Dean Wade, or I know that a lot of people would love to ship out Isaac Okoro, but we're closer to the Dean Wade, Isaac Okoro conversation than we are to anything else. Because I don't know, you look at these last champions over these past 7 years. I don't know, man. I don't think anybody lays a blueprint right now. I think that you kind of, maybe it's better to stand pat instead of make these decisions and all of a sudden have a problem where you have to blow it up.
And I think the other aspect of things, too, is essentially every team that has won a championship in NBA history has gotten a stroke of luck at a certain point, right? Like, go back and think, and it's hard for me to think of teams that don't get lucky, not massively lucky, but lucky at some point. The Cavs got unlucky this year. It happens. It's unfortunate, but I do think that's part of it. I do think that there should be some changes to this roster, but I think doing anything drastic would probably be a little short-sighted. And I also think, too, it's really hard to make a drastic move and get better right now. And I do think that with where the Cavs are at in their timeline, they are who they are to a certain extent. I think their core is those three guys with Donovan, Darius, and obviously Evan. Around that, I think you can make changes, but I think it's easier to make those changes because you're not trying to bring in a core piece coming back. And if you're trying to do that, I think it's just really, really difficult with all of the restrictions that the Cavs have on them being a second apron team.
Danny Cunningham with us on the hotline. I'm trying to, as best I can, to watch these finals like I do every year and try to, you know, get something out of it in terms of how it can impact maybe the Cavaliers. And one thing I do notice, these teams have some guys who aren't household names, but have, in my estimation, become playoff risers. Guys that in the regular season, you wouldn't really necessarily want all that often. Not huge impactful players, but come playoff time can take their game to the next level. I think TJ McConnell has passed that test with flying colors. I think Alex Caruso is another guy. I'm wondering, do the Cavs have those types of players? Because these other teams seem to have multiple. I'd even say Siakam. Siakam's been way better in these series, way tougher to guard than it seems like he is in the regular season. Who are those players for the Cavs?
I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say Donovan Mitchell, although I believe he is, just because he's a star player.
Yep,
and I don't
agree.
Know if that's exactly
the
caliber of guy.
I count him, Danny. He takes his game to another level come playoff time.
But when you're talking about a star player, like, that's the expectation. You know, I don't know if anybody, the TJ McConnell stuff, the Alex Caruso stuff, that's special because you are not necessarily expecting that out of role players. I think it's built into the responsibility of being a superstar the way Donovan is. I think, and it's funny to say this considering the last game he played was so bad, but for most of that Indiana series, I thought Max Strus was that guy. Like,
yeah.
I thought he took his game to a next level in that series, and obviously he had done that before as a member of the Miami Heat, but that is part of the area where the Cavs have come up short because they didn't have enough guys that did do that in terms of role players. I look at Max and then that conversation, I don't know if it stops, but it's not, there's not as much evidence for the other guys that you would hope that there would be after that series against the Indiana Pacers. So that really is the thing. And some of those things can be fickle from year to year. Like, I have no reason to think TJ McConnell wouldn't be able to do this again next year, but I also don't know if he can. I mean, take a look back at, I guess, what Matthew Dellavedova did in the 2015 NBA Finals.
Ooh,
and then
that's a
year
one.
Later, he was not in the rotation in the postseason. Like, they could not play him against the Warriors.
Mozgov in 2015.
Right. Like, those guys were
How
not in the rotation when the Cavs won the title. And that is just something, I think it's a pretty fickle thing, unfortunately.
Well, I will say this. You're right. Offensively, like, I wouldn't expect McConnell, even though he was excellent at breaking down defenses all year, and I think he should have played more minutes last night, especially Nembhard.
Sure.
Nembhard was disastrous for them, I thought, on both ends in the fourth quarter. But
he has, I think, at times kind of looked a little scared offensively,
yes,
in this series. Nembhard has.
Yeah, and that, we didn't see that guy in our series. That guy was a stone-cold
no.
killer in that series. So I do wonder when I think about, like, McConnell, like, you know they're going to bring the defense. Like, even though they might be limited athletically, they are going to bring defense that I just wonder some of these Cavs, I just don't think you can set your watch to that in the same way. Like offense comes and goes. I agree with you. You're going to have good series. You're going to have bad series. Offensively, you're going to have series where you don't shoot the three ball well. But defensively, that's the one thing that you can bring game in and game out.
And I think that's a fair observation. And when you look at the guys that you would count on the Cavs to be, you know, maybe you would have hoped Ty Jerome would have been a playoff riser. And against Miami, it looks like, oh, this guy might be that. And then against Indy, he was awful. But they don't have a lot of those guys coming off the bench that are defense first. I mean, Isaac Okoro is one of them, but he's not been a playoff riser. He's been, I think, the opposite of that, whatever you would want to call that, a playoff deflator in each of the past three postseasons that he's played in. So Dean Wade has not been somebody that I think has been a playoff riser because I think that he has played too tentatively offensively. I don't know that they've had the right combination of having a defense first guy that can go out and just kind of go supernova offensively for a short period of time and be really impactful in that way. That is an area where I think they're searching, but you also don't know what you have there until you get to the postseason. Because if I would have thought everything we know about Ty Jerome, everything we saw with Ty Jerome during the regular season, I would have thought he had a great series against the Pacers, and it turned out it was one of his worst.
In that case, do we run risk of, and this is counter to the argument you and I have made about not trading away Darius Garland and everything, do we overrate our own players here sometimes?
I think every fan base overrates their own players, certainly. But I also think that when you're talking about a 25-year-old two-time All-Star and somebody that I think is still getting better, you should never be rushing to give those guys away, especially when they play a premium position in the NBA. Sure, we probably think of Darius Garland a little bit higher than other teams or other fan bases, certainly. But we also watched him for 82 games in the regular season and then the series against the first two games against Miami Heat where he was really good too. So I think that there is a little bit of that, but I also think that you need to look at who this guy's been as a player and say, if I were building a team, I would want that on my team.
All right, I have said, Danny, there is also a risk in not making moves. I know people think it's wide open in the East, so if you just run it back, you should be fine. Well, already we've had one big change, and the Orlando Magic are the first. Are you expecting craziness right now the way that some are around the league?
Yeah, I think that there will be other teams in the East that try and get better, that see an opportunity. And part of the reason why teams see an opportunity is because the Cavs didn't get it done in the postseason, obviously. The Boston Celtics are not going to be the same caliber of team next year. The Milwaukee Bucks, I do not think, are going to be a very good team at all next year. And it's wide open. I also think that there are going to be teams that look at Indiana. I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But I think some teams are going to look at what the Pacers have done and say, that's a little fluky. We don't expect that again next year. We think that this Eastern Conference is wide open. I would think Detroit is going to try and be a team that makes a big move and tries to really build themselves up after what they had was an incredibly successful season by their standards this past year. But I also look at the rest of the East and, okay, there may be three or four teams that can do this and really give themselves a chance. Other than that, some of these teams are so bad that it's not even worth it just because they're so far away, like the Charlottes of the world. Obviously, Washington's not in that place. Maybe Toronto goes out and makes a big swing, but even then, I don't know that the Raptors are a team that you would look at and say, yeah, they could be in the conference finals next year. And I know it's really early.
Danny, Detroit is the one I'm looking at. Like yeah, they have the assets, ammo, and they were pretty damn tough last year.
I think that they absolutely should try and make a move to get a stretch five, and it sounds like that's exactly what they want to do. And if they do that, I think they're a much better team. Now, we still need to see them go through a postseason and win series, multiple ones, before I think you really have, you know, a lot of respect for what they can do. And I certainly think that J.B. Bickerstaff's a good coach, but he is a coach that has certainly had a lot of issues in the postseason that we have seen firsthand too, that I think still exists. Like that just hasn't gone away, but I think the Pistons are a team that should believe that they can go for it now.
Danny, thank you for the time. All the best.
Anytime, guys.
Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs podcast, the inside shot on Substack, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
Do you think that the Cavs, as they're put together, can compete with Indiana? Can they compete with Oklahoma City? I'd say the answer is yes. Can they beat them in a series? The answer is maybe. The answer, I think the answer needs to be you need to add a couple of more pieces and keep your fingers crossed that you're healthy. And maybe just look and look at the way your roster fits together. I sound like a broken record on this, if anybody remembers what a broken record sounds like these days.
I do, raises my hand.
Very nice. I don't like the two small ball dominant guards. I don't think that's the way to win an NBA championship. It's the way to win a lot of games. And Darius Garland is a tremendous player, and Donovan Mitchell's even better. Together, I think there's too much of a duplication of skill set, and I don't know that you could get Darius to be more point guard and less scoring guard out of that spot. If you didn't have Donovan there, fine. It's fine. But you have Donovan there. He's clearly the lead guy, and he should be. I think he's a better player than Darius. And because of that, I wouldn't be afraid to bust it up and right. look for something different, especially after you see Indiana roll out guys 6'5 and bigger. You watch Orlando trade for yet another big guard. If they start Jalen Suggs, they go 6'5, 6'5 in their backcourt.
Right.
And then 6'9 and 6'10 on the wings, you know, with Wagner and Banchero. So I would not be the least bit adverse to trading Darius in the right deal. Those are the key words. You don't move him to move him, Daryl.
Right.
But if somebody calls you and offers you the right deal, well, you got to pull the trigger. You got to go for it.
Yeah, and you're about moving off Darius. I'm about moving off Jarrett. And there's a strong case, I think, for both players. Here's the challenge for Kobe Altman this offseason, aside from navigating the whole second apron situation. There is no team that you need to correct for, if that makes sense. There's no singular team. Like, I don't feel like that they need to do a course correction this offseason for the Indiana Pacers, specifically. You're right. I mean, we see that in offseasons all the time, where like Golden State, right? Teams would try and get their personnel to match up. So, okay,
there are too many teams in the East that have a chance for the Cavs to try and match up against somebody.
It's way too wide open.
They have to put the best team on the field, on the court that they can, and then go for it. But is the best team two guys who are 6'1 and 6'2 in the backcourt who need the ball?
Right.
That's what Kobe Altman needs to decide. Apparently, so far, he's decided yes, because he put it together. And he's the guy who put it together. He's the guy who won 64 games in the regular season with it. Obviously, they're a really, really good team. But the question is, can they get the ultimate goal with the way that this roster is now built?
Yeah.
Michael is in Avon. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Interesting stuff. I want to make two real quick points, and then I'll tell you my player. I don't think we should do anything in the off season because, like we've talked about, the NBA is two seasons. Let's take the start of the season to the trading deadline to see if we have to move anybody. That's point number one. Point number two is look at how different the team played with the coaching change that we made. It was a whole different kind of basketball than we had under Bickerstaff. And Bickerstaff had his success in Detroit. But you take those two elements, what the Cavs are missing is anybody to come off the bench in the front court and give Allen and Mobley a break or play with those two. And I think he's on our G League team. I would see what a half a season with Nicquel instead of Tristan Thompson. I can't think, because I'm on the phone, I can't think of Nicquel's last name.
Tomlin.
But he averaged 20 points a game. And the G League has been good to us. We brought up Craig Porter. We brought up Sam Miller. We've brought
Sam
up
Merrill.
Sam Merrill.
Dean Wade has been time Wade. There.
I would like to see what a full preseason's worth of coaching.
Well, Shaq wants to see Imani Bates.
That's a whole different ballgame. There's your taller guard that can't get it together. But I wouldn't move anybody until we see what our needs are at the trading deadline. Because to blow it up and try to create something different for the sake of, oh my God, we have to make a change, we're not really going to know if we need to make a change if we give this kid a chance till the trading deadline. And I would sit still for a couple reasons. The other teams in the league at the trading deadline may be in a different position than trading with them now. Somebody's got to do a rebuild. Somebody's tanking. Somebody's doing this, that, and the other thing. You might have a whole different layer of players available based on the standings in the NBA in June.
Well, Kobe's the king of getting in on three-team trades. Like, he's the king of getting in on those and pulling a piece. I mean, that's how they ended up with Jared Allen, right?
DeAndre Hunter as well.
Exactly.
I mean,
so
you made a move to go get DeAndre, who, by the way, I think should start next year.
And I kind of think that might be how they're going to, you know, might be a mechanism for them to shed Isaac Okoro, is you get him involved in a three-team trade to help match some money somewhere or something like that. You just, he's going to have to be creative this offseason, Jeff.
Well, I agree with that. The player that Michael was talking about is Naquan Tomlin. He's a 6'10 forward, was up a little bit, and did average 20 points a game in the G League. Remember one thing. There is a, though guys go to the G League and improve their games, stars in the G League don't necessarily become stars in the NBA.
Yep.
They don't necessarily become NBA players. Just keep that in mind.
I use the analogy, right, with AAA guys like John Kenzie Noel goes back to AAA. So mm-hmm. His bat starts finding baseballs. Will Williams, same thing. Like AAA pitching, a little different than Major League pitching.
Without question. Lewis is in Shaker. Hey, Lewis.
Oh, Phelps, man, you guys are not going to like what I have to say, man.
I can't wait to hear it then.
Then hit us with it.
Let me tell you, it's Darius. Darius has to put the team before himself. As Darius goes, this team goes. Darius does not want to accept his role as being Robin. You can tell. I can see it in him. I've seen people like him. I see it in him when him and Mitchell like interact on a big play. You can tell he's kind of standoffish. It's Darius. Darius has to mature mentally. He has it. I mean, as far as like physically and gift, Darius has it. Darius is a all-star, but Darius does not want to be Robin. Darius wants to be Batman, and he has to put this team before his selfish self. As Darius goes, this team goes. It's not Mitchell, because Mitchell's going to do his thing. As Darius goes, this team goes, and Darius does not want to go. Darius wants to be the man. Everybody can't be the man, Darius. Accept your role and win championships. Don't worry about your selfishness. Accept your role. That's it.
Lewis, thank you very much. Lewis and I have talked about this before, and I've thrown out the idea.
I don't know that I'd call him selfish.
I wouldn't call him selfish either. What I would call him is a guy who was trained and brought along by the Cavaliers to be exactly the kind of guard he is right now. It's not his fault. It's not even fault. The Cavs developed a heck of a guy for a 6'1 guard. He can score. He can pass. He was 12th in the league in assists this last year.
Right.
Maybe you get into the top 5 in assists. And your scoring backs off to 16 a game. And Evan Mobley's goes up to 23.
I mean,
I think you're a better team. You know, Darius averaged at 6.7 assists.
Yeah.
What if he averaged 9? You know what I mean? Became more pass first and shoot second. Doesn't mean that things are going to drop off the table. You know, you're not going to become Cameron Payne.
Even Donovan Mitchell, when he scores 40 or more points, you'd be like, oh, that's awesome.
But not, they usually lose.
Not for the Cavaliers.
Right.
They usually lose when Donovan has to do that. Donovan's scoring sweet spot is between around 25 and 38 points in a game. Cavaliers usually win there. When he has to go above that, bad things are happening team-wise, right?
Well, you could look at the playoffs and see that, Dee.
Right.
But guys were injured, so that's going to be the caveat about why he took so many shots in the playoffs. Well, he had to because they were injured. Did he?
We know the backcourt does work together. I sort of agree with you on the size thing and the two small guys in the back. It's
ball dominant guards who have enough duplication of skill set.
Right, but they made it work last year or this past season.
In the regular season.
Over 60 wins.
They were great.
There were two questions.
They were great.
You asked the Kenny Atkinson. And I asked him the question in his introductory press conference. It's about making the two small guards work and making the two big guys work. And Kenny Atkinson made them both work this year, except for in the playoffs here. But I'm not going to call Darius selfish. I think he gave you everything he could give you in the playoffs, Jeff. He had to have surgery on his big toe.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was ripping him because he wasn't playing. He had to take a couple games off in that series. And then the day after it was over, he's like, yeah, I had to play with like a metal sleeve in my shoe and all that kind of stuff just so I could get out there and play through the pain and all that. And then it turns out, because I said sarcastically during the series, because this is just the type of mental thing I have.
Mental whack job you are.
Yeah, pretty much. I said, yeah, I can't wait until the offseason comes when we find out that Darius Garland needs to have surgery on his foot.
Oh,
and then guess what happened?
Yeah, it was not a surprise to me either.
No, least surprising news ever.
And let me just reinforce this thought. This isn't about Darius not doing anything.
No.
Darius is a really good player.
Sometimes he does try and do too much.
Well, but who
doesn't?
Show me an NBA guy who doesn't.
Right.
You know, who's that caliber of a player. He's really good. He's really good. And if this team didn't have Donovan Mitchell, I wouldn't move. I wouldn't even think of moving Darius.
100%.
But you have Donovan Mitchell. And I think there's enough duplication of skill set there that it's not about the player. It's about the fit.
Yeah, and see, people look at it as if you're trading Darius, that's a commentary on him as
player. Oh, no, he's terrific.
It's not.
It's about the fit.
And the same thing for me when I talk about Jarrett. Just because I feel that if you move Jarrett, that opens more things up for Evan Mobley. You can get another big to replace him that doesn't cost as much. You're not going to get a double-double machine. But I don't know, do you need a double-double machine from your big in this new... firing up 53 pointers per game league.
Yeah.
I don't know that you need to spend $20 million a year on your center.
Maybe it's drifting away from that. Maybe not.
You think so?
No, I don't.
Okay.
More Cavs. If you have some thoughts on this, by all means, join us. And there was a price tag on something else in the NBA that you might find astronomical, and I wonder if it's a sign of what's ahead. It's Baskin and Phillips with Daryl in for Andy.
You know, I know we keep talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and everybody else. Could he be the face of the league? Could he end up as the guy as the face of the league? If he wins the championship here, it's like this is your one shining moment, but in the NBA. Okay. There you go. I was right. Was I not right?
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton?
Yeah, because I did say that I wanted it fact checked. Owen, what do you think?
Know that you're saying that he would be the face of the league.
I said he can vie for face of the league. Can he not? If they win, and they're not going to win,
his one shining moment. That means one moment doesn't mean you're the face of the league.
Now he did have like four shining moments.
Yeah, that's what I'm meaning.
He also had 4 points last night.
Yeah, he had zero field goals. Now did have the injury.
Well, that's not a shining moment. And he had an injury. So we take him and we make him what he is, or what we want him to be. He is the catalyst for an injury. He is the catalyst for a loss because of an injury. And I can do the same thing with Darius Garland if I want to. Because it does annoy me, and I think that several people on the internet seem to agree with me, that I think it's been a convenient thing here over the last month with Darius's injury to find the folks who have been wanting to move on from Darius Garland to find their convenience of moving on from Darius Garland. Now, it doesn't mean they're not going to move on from him, that they're going to combat that argument, but I think it's much easier said than done considering what you can or can't get back because of what's going on with the second apron. And, you know, I don't think we made a very big deal about the Desmond Bain trade yesterday that maybe we should have, because a lot of folks are wondering whether or not Orlando has passed you up. Now, I think that some of that is crazy talk, because they're disappointed in the Cavs and how the season ended, but I think a lot of people are talking about whether or not the Cavs were passed up because of this Desmond Bain trade, which was a big, big, big trade in NBA parlance.
I thought it was a great trade for them. I thought it was the perfect time to swoop in. It reminded me, like I said yesterday, of the Indiana Pacers trading for Siakam. Not necessarily a household name or, you know, a perennial MVP candidate. You know, Desmond Bane is just a role player, right? But a really good one. Somebody who is a really, really good shooter, and he can defend at times, and he can defend 1 through 4. He can switch. Seems to be perfect additive for what they need.
7:20, Lima has a special event tonight that he wants to have a couple of pops at, and he doesn't know if he's going to be allowed to by his wife. We will tell you about that coming up at 7:20 this morning. I have heard a sentiment here, and I think that we do need to be careful about it. And at 6:40, by the way, I have a dangerous comparison to make between your Cleveland Guardians and another team. There's been something that's been written and said even. I heard Nick and Jonathan talking yesterday, and I don't think they're wrong about this. Usually we go on the attack and we say when each other's wrong. Ivan yesterday, and I heard Nick and Jonathan talking about how, you know, whoever wins, that team ends up being emulated. Like, if the Oklahoma City Thunder win, then teams tend to want to build like that. And I think, you know what? In so many ways, it's so true across sports and for decades and decades and decades. The dominant team. But I think in today's NBA, and really over the last how many years now, I think that's a dangerous proposition for us to watch Oklahoma City and say, we need to build like that. Or for us to watch Indiana. If Indiana were to win the next two games, we need to build like them. There's been 7 champions in 7 years. And I think that all those teams have been different to some level. I mean, over the last 7 years, you think about it, you're going out of the tail end of the super team era into this difference of, how does the CBA work? How do you put together a team? How do you make it stay as long as you can? Now we're seeing more and more, and you're noticing this. Teams have to be better on the margins. Before it was, and this is why, you know, when it comes to the big three, core four, whatever it is, that's part of the reason I'm a little bit skittish on moving on all these guys, or a lot skittish of it. You know, I'm seeing guys that we don't talk about during the regular season step up and play well. They're better on the margins, filling in the gaps, changing the way that they play to help fill in those gaps a little bit better. And I think that if you set yourself up to say, we are going to be Oklahoma City, we are going to be the Boston Celtics, we are going to be Team X, Team Y, Team Z, I think you're going to get lost in like 2 years. I don't know if a team has the wherewithal to be able to do that because of how the CBA works and how stringent it is now. But also, even if you were going to do it in the draft or anything, I think you can get lost real quick about the type of basketball team you want. I think we're in a very dangerous era of basketball. Yeah, and even the athlete that's playing the game right now.
Yeah, well, and the Pacers, they you know, look like they're probably going to lose now. I still give them a fighting chance to win game 6, and you know, who knows when you have a game 7. Who knows what kind of chaos that creates. But they built an identity. They have an identity. They do it differently than just about any team. And here they are in the NBA Finals, and they've been in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 consecutive years and have overachieved both years. The Cavs, it all comes back to whether or not we think fundamentally the Cavs are built the right way. Now, we've given Kobe Altman a ton of credit, rightfully so, for building a team that anybody would even think would have a chance with the two small guards, right? And, you know, the duplication they have with the two big men. Remember, we've been arguing about this forever, whether or not this actually works. In the regular season, it works. That debate is over. I mean, they cruise to the number 1 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
So it works in a regular season. Now, of course, coming back next year, fans aren't going to care about a regular season. They're going to care whether or not this team can catapult off of that and use their identity to win in the postseason. And that is the hard part of this, because it's not easy to just say, okay, you know, I don't know that Darius and Donovan work anymore. Let's trade Darius no matter what. Mm-hmm. I've never said that. You know, if you're going to do a Darius trade, it has to make sense. You have to get longer. You have to get more athletic. You have to get bigger. You know, you have to find different types of ways that you can do this. We were hoping that, you know, Donovan Mitchell would play like a superstar in the playoffs, and he didn't shoot it like a superstar, but I mean, he got to the free throw line a ton in that series. It should have been good enough, right? If we would have operated the way that we thought we could. All right, Evan Mobley. Well, Evan Mobley just didn't get the ball enough.
No.
But Evan Mobley, that should fit on any team. Being a dominant defensive player of the year type player who can guard anybody on the perimeter and can block shots at the rim. That works with any team. That works with any identity. It's some of the other pieces that you wonder about. You know, and DeAndre Hunter, unfortunately, injures injures his hand on that dunk attempt, and that sucked. Because now you know, you just don't know how close to 100% he was and what that did to his rhythm.
And this is another thing to it. And I might be trying to grasp at straws here for arguments for Darius Garland to some folks, but I'm going to make every single one I can. I'm going to empty the clip on it all. For Darius, you just said it. You can't just trade away Darius for nothing. The right deal has to be there. It all has to make sense with the salaries, and it all has to make sense with the tax exemptions and all that other crap that we talk about. But I think that we could find a spot where if you don't move on from Darius, and I think it's very hard to move on from him. If you don't move on from Darius, I don't think it's anything to be down about. I think it's something to learn from, and this is where the regular season matters. And you'll have to watch this going into next year. Is this a spot where the injury can actually help? Because if he's going to miss, if it's 5 months, and he's going to miss part of the beginning of the season, Evan Mobley can't sit there and change the way he's going to play. Because if you're the Cavs, all right, get those shots up. We need the ball in your hands. It's time for you to become the player we need you to be. You've been in the league here for 5 years now. I know you're still a pup, but you've been in the league here for a while. It's time for you to rise and be the type of player that we need you to be. And by the time Darius comes back, we can't go back to the old ways. If you went back to the old ways, we'll probably get the same results, and we're all going to be disappointed by that. But the regular season mattering because of the injury to Darius Garland, it may force Evan Mobley to be that type of player, and we can't take a step back from that. Because it does sound to me more and more, in the series against Indiana, if Evan Mobley was more assertive with his shot, are we able to beat Indiana in game two? If Evan Mobley is more assertive with his shot, are we able to get back in that series? I think that I can't guarantee we'd win the series with the injuries there and just Evan Mobley being a kid. But I think that these are questions you have to ask. And would we be better off with the health of all these guys and then a more dominant, assertive Evan Mobley? I think the answer is clear to everybody.
Teams don't have an answer for a 6'11 guy dribbling who all of a sudden is bullying guys underneath the basket. They don't have an answer for that. But when you've got the two guards monopolizing all the shots, all the point of attack, you know, drives, all of that stuff, which is what we saw in that series. Again, we're talking about the injury to Garland, and yet he takes more shots than Evan Mobley in that elimination game. Can't happen.
It's not going to be exciting to move Okoro, unless you just can't stand Isaac Okoro. It's not going to be exciting to move Dean Wade for pieces that fit in. But my case in point for everything is that you may have the ingredients still with this team, watching what's gone on in this finals and the rest of the NBA playoffs, knowing that the league is as wide open as it's ever been, which is going to create more disappointment. Because there's more teams, and this is your point to a lot of this, there's more teams than ever who think they have a chance to win something. And so there's going to be more teams that are disappointed in the end. If you're not one of the two teams in the NBA past during the 2014 to 2018 run between the Cavs and the Golden State Warriors, if you weren't a fan of either one of those teams, there wasn't a reason for you to get sorely disappointed. Now there's a reason. But I think that you have to be that much better on the fill-in pieces, the guys who are the 6th, 7th, and 8th guys that come in off the bench that make that difference.
Hey, happy anniversary, JP.
Oh, you recognize 9 years on LinkedIn yesterday for myself with employment.
Oh, no, that's not the one.
Oh, not it. No.
Although, can we address that real quick?
Yeah.
When LinkedIn goes, he's completed 9 years, that does make me think, did somebody get fired? Every time I see it,
oh, really?
I'm like, yeah, why are we, completed. That there's a finality to the word completed that I think throws me off. Instead of just being like, hey, it's this nine-year workiversary, which feels like it would be a little bit more celebratory. Completed feels like, he just got you-know-what canned, but hey, 9 years, right?
Should we celebrate workiversaries a little bit more? I mean, it was yesterday, I know other places they like for 10 years you get like a watch, you get certain things, 5 years you get certain things. For here I didn't even get an email.
I think you got a new microphone screen there.
That was months ago.
Yeah.
That's
They didn't wait till you got to it.
It's like when I buy things for myself, my wife is like, "That could be your Father's Day present." And I'm like, "Okay, fine. Let's count that for that."
Now sure. I feel like I got to give you some Odyssey points to make sure you feel
Is that what it is?
Love it.
When's your workiversary?
I believe in a month's time.
Wait, when do you count it though? Because do you count it with the full-time start date? Do you count it with the part-time start date? How do you count your years in between where you didn't work here? How does that work?
Do you just
count the return?
I just don't. I just the return.
The return.
If I was like, I mean,
you're like LeBron, the return.
If I was like, well, my first work anniversary is 9/15.
I don't know how it works.
But my real one is like, no, it's just I mean, it was July 14th, I think.
You've accumulated a lot of different times. And I don't know.
It's a nice way of saying I've had a couple jobs.
I'm just talking about even here, just here in general. But then again, the part-time versus full-time thing would be a different story too.
We got the part-time start date, which is in 2011. Then I got the night show date, which was in, I think, 2015.
Do you remember exactly what date it was or no?
No.
No clue.
No,
huh?
Not at all.
All right.
I wish I did, because I did get great satisfaction from quitting my other job.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
Whew. Yeah, you would have thought that would have been like an awesome moment in Nick Wilson history.
Yeah.
Being able to tell them to go kiss ass or whatever you want to tell them. Sorry, wrong way to phrase that. Hold on.
You know what?
Because it came out so utterly wrong that I needed to correct that.
You know
that.
What? I'm not going to work here anymore. Y'all can go kiss ass.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I knew it when I said it. And
why
I like that I dumped it, and
that
so then, and because it just sounded so horrible. And then as you had to re-say it just to make sure people knew what I said.
Wait. So the other day,
the point of the dump
when I
button,
bippity boppity boop the end of a segment, it was 30 minutes of sounding like
dump button
booey.
Is that you can do
you
that?
You didn't dump that.
You can erase. I'm not dumping your things. I don't know what you want to keep and don't keep. That one I didn't want to keep.
When I hey, sounded listen, like I was having a stroke on air,
it was a tryout.
That was fun to let go out on air.
Me using the dump button was a tryout. That was a test run right there. Apparently, it didn't pass.
Just like telling people to go kiss ass. Now,
just came out wrong.
Happy 9-year anniversary of the Cavs title.
Yes.
I kind of love, one of the things I love about the anniversary is I love that we all kind of have clung to like specific moments or have like a different relationship to it. Like, for instance, you started right around the time they won the championship. And so you have a completely different vantage point on it than. You know, I'd been with the station day one, mm-hmm. and, you know, our celebration was, I think it was me, Dan Menigan, and Alex Hooper watching the final moments up in the producer bay, and we started jumping and hugging together, which is the only time I've done that in my life.
Yeah, when the Cavs won was all of, I think, like my third day in Cleveland.
It was.
In total.
Wasn't the parade like your seventh day or something like that?
Yeah, but the parade was actually the very first day of work that I did here. Like the actual, like, so my work anniversary is wrong on LinkedIn. It is wrong because my actual very first day of working was the parade. The funny thing about it was that, you know, I showed up getting ready to do updates and hey, let's start this job. And Andy was like, I want you to do reporting from the street from the parade. It's like, that's what I want you, like your very first day to be. And I was like, okay. And then, I think he realized that was a wrong decision. So then I ended up doing updates like I was supposed to be doing. And so that's what it was. But like, yeah, I think it was like day two or three of me being here and I was still moving into my apartment and everything. And then I watched it over at the arena like everyone else. And I was out until 3 a.m.
There's a few moments.
Spending $40 on mozzarella sticks from Guy's Pizza because that's what they were charging at 1:30 a.m.
Watching Les Levine and his son Jeremy. I've talked about this one a lot.
Raffling off food items.
But watching Les and Jeremy see each other in the studio and embrace was awesome. Walking out into East 9th, because Les actually had the first part of the so I didn't go on, I think, till 2 a.m., which was hell, because I was a young father, was not getting all the sleep at that point.
How did getting that shift work? Were you just like, I'll volunteer to do the 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift?
I wanted to be on air after that, and we didn't have...
Were they not going to do on-air programming if you didn't volunteer?
So we couldn't put me in... So usually Les and I had done the post-games together.
Yeah.
But because we couldn't do 7 hours together, they just split them up. And so I offered to take the 2 to 6 because I guess I just did. I felt bad about asking Les to come in that late because he was a bit older. I don't know if people know that. Les was a little bit older at the
Les
time.
Les probably had priority over you as well.
Yeah, let me take my high road here.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
But no, walking out of East 9th, and there was an aroma in the air. It's legal now, but you can guess what the aroma was. People were hugging, crying, strangers crying, a lot of flashing, a lot of things being seen that day.
Oh, I didn't see any flashing.
Oh, you were not in the right spot because
I mean, I was right there. Yeah, right,
it
right
was
on
like
9th
the paparazzi
Street.
I watched
people climb up flagpoles and then just fall down, and just seemed like it just was absolutely disastrous. All sorts of fire trucks being shaken left and right.
So, but I think what's interesting is
somebody threw like a 24-pack of 7-Up out in the street. I'll never forget that. And just 7-Up was exploding everywhere.
Oh, that was the other thing. People were offering; they would be carrying around like a case of beer. and offering people beers just out on the street, just like joy. Like, I don't want to drink alone. Here, have this. They were also offering other things, which I also couldn't imbibe in on the street ever because it was illegal at that time. Not because I had a show from 2 to 6 in the morning. What's interesting is this is not for everyone because, like, I saw Cammie Justice, who she's not celebrating her workiversary. She's celebrating her anniversary with her significant other, which also happened to coincide with the Cavs winning a championship. And so she put up some pictures of them reacting to it happening because I think they watched Game 7 over at the arena too. And so I'm watching a fair amount of people who are really enjoying talking about that title. It has been interesting, though, when we talk about it in real time. There are people who do not hold the 2016 title in same regard as we did when it happened. And I think it's a lot of LeBron-related stuff. And the mentality is so beyond my mentality on it, which I'm just grateful LeBron came back and we got to go to four straight finals and we got to win one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so grateful for that because it is honestly the greatest sporting event. It's the greatest sports moment of my life. And there are so many things that I'll tear up if I think about too much to watch people go, yeah, I want to win a title now so I don't have to have a title with LeBron. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? We waited 50 years. Well, I mean, my dad was born 2 years before the last championship, and my dad was gone by the time Cleveland won the next one. Like, my grandma Blanche, one of the biggest sports fans ever, the last 30 years of her life, no Cavs championship. My grandma Barb, who was not, unfortunately, Alzheimer's had kind of taken over at that point. Like, so she wasn't with us, but she was kind of with us. Like there's so many parts about this that I just don't understand how you could ever look at a title and go, yeah, that's okay.
I don't know that it's that okay. I do think it's the natural how this, like, the evolution of a sports fan to, as the more and more years pass, you move your stuff a little bit further and further away. And then, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years from now, it'll come back and everyone will have 2016 Cavs stuff everywhere. I think about it with, like, my mom with the Cubs in 2016 and all the stuff she bought and had. And then all of a sudden I've watched and I've seen her house over the years. And the further and further you move away from that, the less and less it pops up. Even with my own stuff here, like, I had all sorts of different Cavs 2016 title stuff and they've slowly but sure, like, the t-shirts I've outgrown. I've outworn. I don't wear any of those anymore. I had a hat that I wore for a little bit, never gets worn anymore. Like, just further and further you get away from it. I think it's just the natural evolution of a sports fan.
Oh, see, I think this is more tied in with the second LeBron left the second time. There's a segment of fans that distanced themselves from the title. And not just that. It was when LeBron went super political. I think there are certain fans that distance themselves from the 2016 title. I think when LeBron won when LeBron signed in LA, just in general, not just the fact they left Cleveland, but signed with the big ugly empire with the Lakers. LeBron's most recent stuff, where I think people are just LeBroned out after 23 years of greatness, or going on 23 years of greatness. I think there's just a segment of Cavs fans who don't necessarily count it the same way that you do, I do, our friend Cammie does, where I think a fair amount of Cavs fans do. But I think it's a vocal minority. And you know how I know? Because when we talk about that title, or when we talk about this team winning a title now, it's the people who say this title would mean more.
I mean, I definitely think there are people that wish it would have happened to one of the other teams, not named the Cavs, and talking about the LeBron association attached to it.
That's fair.
There are a lot of people that wished it would have been the Guardians over the Cubs in that World Series. I think there have been a lot more people that would say they wanted to be the Browns in general.
I would also say, but specifically what you said, I would also say that I think there are people who would say this, if the Cavs win a championship next year with Donovan, Darius, and Evan, that it would mean more than the 2016 title.
Yeah, they'll like that one more.
Yeah, and my rebuttal will be the next title, unless we wait another 50 years, the next title can't mean more than this last one.
I actually think the distance for this one will let it age like fine wine, because the distance with this one, it'll just impact it more of being like breaking the curse and everything and all the year's drought and everything associated with it. And so, like, because if the Cavs were to win, let's say, this upcoming year, you got 10 years in between there. It's a long enough time where it makes sure that 2016 is special. Where if the Guardians had won, and then let's say even the Browns in 2018 or 2019 had been able to rally it off, and let's say things go right in that Chiefs game, and all of a sudden they're playing and winning the Super Bowl, it would have felt very bunched together. This will make 2016 always feel special and isolated in an interesting way.
I'll go one step further. I think when LeBron retires, and he's not at the epicenter of everything NBA, and we're not having weekly, you know, clips of LeBron saying this or LeBron doing this on the court, and LeBron's not one of the active faces of the NBA, I think that'll allow some of those, I don't say LeBron haters, but people who this thing has cheapened a little bit because of LeBron, I think that'll be the moment where maybe those people can accept it a little bit more. But you are right. I do think, like, the farther you get away from the team and the less championships you have in the interim, I think we're probably 5 years away from that, though.
On the LeBron point, I do think there's going to be a reclaiming of LeBron again. And the cool thing about LeBron is that he will be remembered worldwide, and like not just like in the country in America, worldwide, he'll be remembered as a Cav. And like that's already stamped down. That's not going anywhere. Like that's that. And so I think even with his own career, I think the time with the Lakers, the time with the Heat, it will be what it was. But like he'll be remembered as a Cav, and that's the most important thing. So a lot of people latch onto that too.
216-474-0092. It's the greatest sports moment of my life. I don't know anything can ever top it from a sports moment perspective, but has the glow from the Cavs 2016 title faded? It hasn't for me. It sounds like it has for some of you. And the turntables have turned with your Cleveland Guardians. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.